Welcome to the Soul Surgery Podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. I am a maturation facilitator, teacher and coach, integrative holistic health counselor, breathwork facilitator, and author. I am the founder of the Academy of Maturation Coaching, The Alchemy of Being, where I train as many people as I can to become powerful spaces for human beings to come home to their authentic truth. Maturation is a powerful evolutionary process of dissolving trauma, breaking free of stuck patterns, and growing and healing at the taproot. Growing out of who we thought we were from the stories led by our past conditioning, in order to grow and evolve into who we were born to be. In this podcast, I will be sharing many different things with you, opening up the doorways to my coaching sessions where you can witness with your own eyes how trauma contaminates our reality and how we can dissolve it, heal it at the root, and rewrite the story of our lives, reclaiming our power and reminding each one of us that who we are is wholeness. I will be interviewing some of the world's most prominent teachers in spirituality, healing, transformation, and human evolvement, and sharing with you my own teachings and learnings along the way, and above all, sharing with you my heart. The purpose of this podcast is to remind each one of you who you really are, to open up the doorway to a new possibility, to a new paradigm, to healing, health, transformation, and our evolvement as individuals and a species. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. One thing that you can do for me, if you find this podcast useful and if you love it, please do subscribe. And if you feel called to, leave a review, because reviews really matter. They help to spread the word and help to spread this podcast to as many people as we can. And lastly, if you have any big aha moments, any shifts, any insights in any of these episodes, please do share it with me. Share with me which episode it was, where in the episode it happened, and how it has impacted you and your life. So without further ado, let's get going. I hope you enjoy today's episode on the Soul Surgery Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Soul Surgery Podcast. Today, it is just me. This is an episode with me speaking to you and you with me. And I am going to be speaking all about radical self-love. The important word here is radical. And I'm going to be speaking about why I use that word and really looking at a new perspective on self-love itself. So, you know, firstly, I want to start by saying one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this particular topic is because I myself found myself in a real slump in the last week. I woke up on Sunday about 5 days ago, and I just absolutely felt like I had hit a rock bottom. Just so knackered, and low, and just kind of like an exhaustion that I don't think I have felt in a long, long time. And it was affecting how I felt physically, it was affecting how I felt energetically, and it was affecting how I saw my life. The tiredness was so heavy and deep that I couldn't see the light. I couldn't see the possibility in life. I couldn't see the good. And when I get like that, not only does it contaminate how I experience my life around me and how I experience reality, but it also opens me up to being even more sensitive and vulnerable to being triggered and to picking up what's going on around me without such a solid foundation. So, you know, I woke up on Sunday and I just felt like I'd been hit by a train. And so the whole of this week has been dedicated to what I like to call radical self-love. And I want to talk about what that means. Firstly, you know, we live in a world that is obsessed with feeling happy and feeling positive and feeling better. Everywhere we look, something is selling something to us, or selling a picture to us, or presenting a picture to us, or an ideal to us about a better way to be. You know, in the world of social media, in the world of the internet, in the world of fashion magazines and gossip papers, and just everywhere, and advertising, everywhere we look, there is some kind of conditioning selling to us a story about a happier, shinier, prettier, sparklier way to be in the world as the ideal. You know, over the last few years, the conversation around body image and weight has been really dismantling, and been really disruptive, challenging the stories and the pictures and the conditionings that we have all been fed for a long time about what is the measure of beauty and worth. Well, we have been fed the same about what it means to have a happy life and how we should be living, how we as human beings should be living. If we're not shiny and sparkly and happy and smiley, then we're doing it wrong. So I want to start with that first, because that is the context in which we are coming from. That is the conditioning in which we are coming from and we're coming up against. That is the measure in which we are finding ourselves coming up against. Wherever you have come from, wherever you have been living, whatever culture, whatever lifestyle, wherever you are, somewhere around you, there have been these pictures and stories being sold to the world that you are in, that there is some better way to be, and you need to be it if you're going to be happy. And so whether you're conscious of it or not, you know, we have these pictures in our minds of how we're meant to be. And so first, before I go any further, I kind of want you just to take a moment to acknowledge that the pictures are there. The pictures are there. By the time I'm 30, I should be earning this much, owning a house, being a mother, having a family, blah, blah, blah. By the time I'm this, by the time I'm that, when I get here, then I should look like this and be like this, and it should feel like this. And it's like being imprisoned by enormous levels of constant pressure and expectation that we think is inside of us, but actually it's been fed to us by the society that we're living in, and that it's been rigged. It's been rigged for us to feel like we're not quite measuring up. Now, this is important. There's a reason why I'm starting off with this, because first we need to know that we are coming up against this conditioning. Why? Because every single time you wake up and you're feeling really low and your energy is low, and you're feeling anything other than happy and sparkly and shiny and pretty and jumpy and everything else, and you're feeling anything other than that because of the conditioning that has been fed to you, and you may not even be conscious of it, you will automatically think that your aloneness is wrong. You will automatically start judging yourself for being anything other than happy and perfect. And that is the point that I want to begin with. Step one to radical self-love. Learning to be with where we are without putting judgment on it or meaning. The pictures that we have in our minds are pictures. And pictures are not real life. But most of you and most of us live in the world without knowing that we have pictures in our minds that we have attached to, and we believe it as how reality should be. And so the moment you don't measure up to that picture, you immediately start making yourself wrong. And thus is the beginning of suffering. My strap is falling down. The first step to radical self-love is allowing yourself to be completely and wholly where you are in the present. That does not mean getting lost in it. That does not mean getting stuck in it. That does not mean wallowing in it. But the first step is to be with it, with acceptance. And what I mean by acceptance is non-judgment, welcoming, awareness. I see you, sadness. I see you, lowness. I see you, depression. And it's okay. This is where I am. You see, the beginning of what causes so much turmoil and gets us into that hamster wheel cycle of self-hate, self-rejection, self-abandonment, completely diminishing our power and our worth and our value. And then we just get caught up in that survival turmoil, which of course is not remotely loving. And it is not at all what we need when we are feeling low, comes from the judgment of where we are in the present. And it comes from the resistance and the rejection of where we are in the present. And so the first step is letting go of pictures. Letting go of the picture in which you have identified with as the measure of something, the measure of your worth, the measure of success, the measure of beauty, the measure of a good life. Actually, where you are now is first where you need to be. Learning how to be with our experience in the present. With compassion. You might not be ready to have love for it, but you can have compassion. And compassion is understanding and seeing. Compassion is when you can give yourself the respect and the care to look at your struggle and your pain and where you are in your humanness and go, I see you and I bring you my understanding and it's okay. Doesn't mean I'm not going to do something to take care of it, but it's okay. The moment you do that, your energy, your whole being starts learning how to hold the experience, learning how to be with the experience. And you're coming back to the present. You're being with yourself. You're actually being in connection with you. That is the moment where you are choosing not to abandon yourself. First step to radical self-love. A very, very difficult step because everybody wants to measure up to the picture in their mind of happiness. And so in our attempt to measure up to the picture, we are completely overriding ourselves and overriding the truth of where we are and overriding what we really feel to try and match the picture. And what does that feel like? How does it even feel to be overridden? How does it even feel to be abandoned? How does it even feel to be rejected so quickly? How can we possibly heal if we are immediately dismissing ourselves? Step one, be with where you are. Step two, tuning in. Tuning in to what is needed. What part of you is depleted? What part of you needs feeding? If you're low, if you're sad, if you're depressed, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're angry, wherever you are, step two, learn how to tune in to which part of you is needing some care. And I'm going to go into this in a bit more detail. What do I mean by that? Which part of you needs more care and needs feeding? You know, we get taught that only our bodies need feeding with food. But actually, we need feeding on every level. And I don't mean feeding by like salads. I mean feeding with love and nourishment and care. Like we need to be nourished and fed on many, many levels to be replenished, to be nourished, to be fulfilled. Let me talk you through how. How are you feeding your mind? Are you feeding your mind with a lot of trash and gossip and nastiness and judgments and other people's shaming, which of course is going to absolutely affect how you feel and how you see the world around you? Or are you feeding it with peace and inspiration and possibility and truth? Are you feeding your heart? Are you feeding your heart with what heart food? Which with what the heart needs, with heart food? Are you feeding your heart so that your heart energy is alive and abundant? Are you feeding your heart with play and touch and intimacy and connection and laughter and joy and wildness and freedom? Are you feeding your heart with your care You see, when we don't feed our hearts, we get really sad. And we get lost in responsibility and weight and heaviness and seriousness. And of course, then we can't access light and joy. So the heart needs food. The heart needs food. What brings you joy? What's pleasurable? What's playful? What's intimate? Are you feeding your physical body? Yes, are you feeding your physical body with the kinds of foods that make it feel alive and make it feel wonderful and cared for? Or are you feeding it with junk? My teacher always used to say to us, you know, if you keep feeding yourself leftovers, you're going to feel like a leftover. Are you cooking for yourself? Are you giving yourself the best quality nourishment with energy and life force in it? How are you moving your body? Is your body being moved? Are you feeding it with movement and aliveness and energy? How are you feeding your soul? Does your soul need food? Have you been in front of the computer too much? Have you been in front of your phone too much? Have you been constantly working and pushing and driving and grasping, and your beautiful soul is just longing, longing for nature and meditation and connection to something bigger? We need to be fed in so many ways. How are you feeding your eyes? Have you been only looking at things that are traumatic and devastating? Or are you allowing yourself to see beauty? How are you consuming? What are you buying? What are you consuming yourself with? Is it something that is feeding your life, or is it something that is feeding your baggage, your story, your fear? Step number two in radical self-love, tuning in to what part of you needs feeding, or what part has become empty. When I woke up on Sunday, that was absolutely the second step. Once I had given myself compassion for being as low as I felt, the second step was, okay, I kind of closed my eyes and I did a scan inwardly. And I breathed and I just kind of scanned through my being and my body. And I realized that my heart felt completely empty and my soul felt completely hungry, undernourished. I had just been working and being in front of the computer and doing calls and being on my phone, and I'd been in lockdown and I just hadn't had enough heart nourishment. I needed nature and play and days off and relaxation and touch and care and being able to wander around without having to always follow rules and schedules. I needed rest. I needed love. What part of you needs feeding? Radical self-love, point two. Number three, how can you feed yourself? What responsibilities do you need to commit to? What actions can you be responsible for in order to feed yourself? Do you need to cancel things in your diary? Do you need to share about it with someone else? Do you need to make changes in your day? Do you need to ask someone for help? What actions do you need to take to be responsible for what you need to feed yourself with? I needed to clear my schedule. I needed to delegate. I needed to create space. And then I needed to honor it. and rest and play and be softer? What part of you needs feeding? And then what actions do you need to be responsible for to take care of it? You know, some amazing, amazing ways in which we feed ourselves that absolutely fundamentally allow healing to occur is sharing yourself. Sharing with a community or with friendships that can really be loving and compassionate and hear you. Journaling, using your journal to be able to tap into seeing yourself, connecting to yourself, giving space for yourself. It's so healing, it's so powerful. Sometimes when I start writing, I just feel instantly like I'm not alone anymore because I'm giving myself that attention. Movement, dance, singing, chanting, meditation, walking in nature, feeding yourself, cooking something so delicious and loving, baking something comforting and gorgeous, asking for a hug, touching yourself, giving yourself self-pleasure, massaging yourself, getting in the bath, massaging your skin. There are just so many ways that we can feed ourselves. The first step is being the one to tune into what's needed and then making the commitment to actually feed yourself with that. Our love is what heals us. It is our love. It is our love that heals us when we are willing to give ourselves that. Radical self-love, point four. Once you have taken care of one, two, and three, number four, what do I need to learn from this so I don't end up back here again? What do I need to learn from this if you've been really low? What do you need to learn from this so that you can take better care of yourself? Do you need to learn that you need more support in your life? Is the lesson that you need to create more space in your life? One of my lessons was I absolutely need to non-negotiably have one day a week that is a day off. And it is non-negotiable because if I don't, I crash. What can you learn from this so that it can be an opportunity for growth and healing and maturation? It doesn't mean that you won't feel low again. You will. But the more you learn from your experiences, the more aware you are and the more mature you are about how to deal with it and the more conscious you are, and then the more healing happens. And number five, have you shown up for yourself that has deserved more of your trust? And this is really the important part. Radical self-love is the pathway to our healing. Why? Yes, because we take care. Yes, because we become more aware of how we take care of ourselves. Yes, because we learn more about what we need. Yes, because we build our tool bag. But really the most important part of all is that we are building a relationship with ourselves based on trust. When we show up for ourselves this way, we show ourselves every time more and more that we can trust ourselves. And when we live in a world where we feel like we can trust ourselves, then healing can happen always. Whenever life gets tough, whenever we have bad days, whenever we have really shit days, whenever anything out of the ordinary happens, anything changes, anything shifts, whenever life happens, we know that we are someone that we can trust in. And trust needs to be earned. Five steps. I didn't even know I was going to do five steps, but I did. Five steps to radical self-love. And why is this even important? This is important because we have to come out of this conditioning of this perfect, sparkly, shiny, pretty picture that we were sold as the right way to be human, as the good way to be human. Because if we keep trying to live up to those pictures, we will keep putting ourselves in the place of the not enough way. And as long as we are coming from a place of not enough, we will always be coming from a place of lack. We will always be coming up short, and we will never, ever be able to be fully free in ourselves. Let go of those pictures. The freedom and the peace you are looking for is not determined on whether you are feeling sad or angry or happy. It is not determined on whether you are skinny or chubby or round or square or triangular. It is not determined on any of those things. Your freedom and your peace and your ability to have joy in life is determined on the relationship you have with yourself and how you show up for yourself on the good days and the low days, on the messy days and the smooth days. Your freedom and your peace is reliant and determined on the level of trust you build with you and how you show up for you. And so these five steps to radical self-love are steps to live by as the relationship you have with yourself continues to mature and evolve and grow. Because when it does, based on this foundation, then the relationship you have with life is one where you are ever growing and ever healing. And that is when anything and everything becomes possible. So I hope that you found this useful. I hope that this has served you in some way. Thank you so much for listening to Soul Surgery Podcast. If you have enjoyed this episode, please do share it with your loved ones and share it with anyone that you feel it would be beneficial to. Please do share the Soul Surgery Podcast with your loved ones too. Spread the word. If you have enjoyed this content and found this useful, please do leave a review so that you can support the work that happens here. And if you have had any big insights or aha moments from listening to this episode, please do let me know, get in touch. You can email me on nikki@nikkiclinch.com, or you can DM me on Instagram. All the notes will be in the introductory notes, or you can leave a comment under the YouTube video on the YouTube channel, Soul Surgery. And I always love hearing from you. Those of you who want to go deeper with me in this work and to have it as part of your everyday way of living and the everyday holding, please do come and join me in my membership community, the Awakening Collective. It's my private membership community dedicated to living aligned to a higher purpose, dedicated to living a continuous commitment and journey of our maturation and evolution and healing, and to be done in community with other women just like you. So I hope that you find this useful, and I hope that I see you there. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.